Welcome into another edition of the Prospect Profits live show and podcast presented by the Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Alec Polito, joined by my co-host, Lorenz Leinweber. On today's show, we will be discussing our reactions to NFL Week 3 as well as College Football Week 4. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. Excited to be here again for another show. Lorenz, how are you doing today before we get into this football talk?
Man, I'm doing good. You know, I'm excited to record this podcast now. I had a long Sunday, you know, a lot of football going on. I was out there at the ELF game. I watched a lot of the action on Saturday night. And so today, you know, I've been a little bit tired, but it's a Monday. People know how it is, but still looking forward to doing this podcast, obviously, because this is a lot of fun. Alec, how are you today?
Doing great. Excited to talk about some of the NFL action as well as a little bit of college football action. Doing great. Excited to do this. Let's get into it. First thing I want to discuss is the potentially one of the new favorites for the Super Bowl here. Before the season, I had picked the Rams as my favorite to come out of the NFC. And this weekend, they beat the defending champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I want to get your take on this. Are the Rams real deal here? Are they the favorite now coming out of the NFC?
Yeah, most definitely they're the real deal. Most definitely. We talked about it when they acquired Matt Stafford. This was a team that had stagnated with Jared Goff at quarterback and weren't really able to upgrade since they had traded all their draft picks already for star players. They didn't really have any money in free agency, and then they were able to acquire a quarterback of the caliber of Matthew Stafford, who, how good has it been for him to get out of Detroit? He's looking great. Suddenly, DeSean Jackson, who's, 35 years old, is a big part of that offense. They're taking shots to him downfield against, you know, a little bit of a depleted Buccaneers secondary. And I'm not going to write off the Buccaneers. I think Tom Brady in September has lost a number of games, even going back to the Patriot days where we were like, oh, man, is it over? You know, I think they'll be just fine. But the Rams are certainly in position, or have positioned themselves to be one of the biggest favorites to come out of the NFC. Their offense is absolutely electric with Matt Stafford at the helm. You obviously got Sean McVay calling plays, who it's been as explosive as ever. They've been getting Cooper Kupp involved more than ever. They're taking shots downfield. They're running the football fairly well, even for not having Cam Akers, who's out for the season. Right. On defense, it obviously helps having Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Still got some questions about that. Still need to see some more before I'm sold on this defense being a championship-winning defense without Brandon Staley, who we're seeing he's doing great things with the Chargers right now, former defensive coordinator for the Rams. But, yeah, let's just talk about some of the other teams. You know, they just beat the Bucs. The Packers have had a rocky start to the season. The 49ers, I think, with Jimmy Garoppolo are limited. Hey, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, they've always been great in September with that passing game the last couple of years. They've lost two games back-to-back now. So a lot of the names that you would usually expect to be in the NFC running might have more obvious holes than what the Rams do. So I think absolutely they're contenders in this division, in the toughest division football, in my opinion. And also coming out of the NFC, what do you think about it?
No, I mean, first of all, you're 100% right. This division might honestly bring us four playoff teams. It's really hard to bet against, and the Cardinals have played well to start out the year. It's really hard to bet against the 49ers and the Seahawks not making the playoffs, or at least not making a push for the playoffs. And even if the Rams do pull away with this division, and let's say the Cardinals keep up, this division could bring us four of the seven playoff teams in the NFC. But yeah, I think that this team's real deal. Matt Stafford looks phenomenal and is obviously an upgrade over Jared Goff. And you talk about this defense having potentially two of the top five defensive players in the entire league, you know, on this defense. So yeah, I think they're real deal. If they keep it up like this, and they've been getting production from some fun places. So I think this Rams team's got to be at least one of, if not the favorite, to get out of the NFC. Maybe Sean McVay finally gets that Super Bowl that obviously I would bet heavily that he'd be more excited about his offense in the Super Bowl with Matt Stafford there than Jared Goff, who looked abysmal against the Patriots a couple years back. But yeah, no, this team looks good. I would like to get into another team here that is 3-0, Lorenz. The Denver Broncos, who did construct a fairly decent roster, a really good roster. Questions at the quarterback position, but everywhere else, they've kind of got a pretty good roster. They are 3-0, but here's the kicker to it. Their opponents, the New York Jets, the New York Giants, and the Jacksonville Jaguars combined are 0-9. What are your thoughts on this Broncos team? They obviously have a uphill battle as is, being in the Chargers, Chiefs, and Raiders division, but they lead the pack right now. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, another division out west that has a bunch of really good teams, yeah, man. Talk about that group. And after what the Chargers just did, showing that they're for real. But no, the Broncos, I mean, they're loaded. We've been talking about this. They're loaded outside the quarterback position. You talk about the defense. You got Vic Fangio calling the defense with the amount of talent that they have. That's right. Awesome. They were able to acquire Patrick Surtain Jr., who looks like a number one corner. Looks like a number one corner in this league. You got this offense with the revamped offensive line. Mike Munchak really helping out. Garrett Bowles becoming a very good tackle. You got a lot of receivers. Got a lot of weapons there. Hey, Tim Patrick stepping up with Jerry Jeudy going down. Suddenly you got KJ Hamler making plays downfield. You got a two-headed attack at running back, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. Those two guys have been awesome. Javonte Williams is going to be great there for 5-6 years for this football team. The one question going into this was who was going to play quarterback, and I'm very happy that they've made the move to go let Teddy Bridgewater play and let him do what he does, minimize mistakes, run that offense effectively and efficiently, lean on the run game, have him distribute the football. And he's been great in that role where he doesn't have to elevate, where he's able to play within structure. Right. Will they win a Super Bowl? Probably not, but I think they're headed in the right direction. Just year one of the George Payton rebuild. You can play the games of should they have gotten Justin Fields all day long. Not going to get into this. I like what they did. I like what they're doing. They do need to find a long-term solution at quarterback, but for right now, I'm excited about it. I think they will win a lot of games depending on no matter who they play. This is obviously a great start to the season. Three teams that are really, really struggling out the gate. Getting to face them is a great little gift thrown out there by the league office, I guess. But no, it's a great way to get hot, a great way to get on track, and a great way to start the season. And there's going to be a team that's going to be reckoned that is going to be in the wild card race, in my opinion. You got seven teams now. They already got three wins racked up. There are a lot of teams that are going to be in that discussion that don't. So I think, regardless of the opponents, that this is a talented football team. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, before the season, we talked about this team a lot as a really healthy way to build this roster. You know, the defense is not only good, but it's deep and it's got excellent play calling. Defense is going to be one of the top teams and they've gone against two rookie quarterbacks and Daniel Jones. So obviously they've looked very good so far, but they're going to go against some, they're going to get their tests. You know, they'll get Patrick Mahomes twice. They'll get Herbert twice. They're going to get their tests, but this defense looks like it can hold up with the best of them. Von Miller looks to be back to form, has looked excellent. They lost Bradley Chubb and likely, I believe, for the season, but they've looked good. The questions are all on this offense, and I think they just lost KJ Hamler for the season. Jerry Jeudy's supposed to be back, but he's out for a while. It's going to be a while. So the weapons are starting to dwindle a little bit, but I love Albert Okwuegbunam. I love Noah Fant. That gives them a really good two tight end look. Javonte Williams has looked very impressive and will likely be taking over that running back role within the next few weeks. I'd say maybe Melvin Gordon stays in on third downs, but you don't even have to do that because of Javonte Williams' excellent pass blocking. He has looked really good. You know, so the weapons on this offense are a concern, but if they get Cortland Sutton going, if they get the other players on this team going, They do have enough to really make a run at it. I don't think they can win a Super Bowl, but think about it. Next year, they go into that draft. They're, if you look at this roster, what is the only thing you really think they need? You know, they could trade 7 picks for the, to get as high up as they want to get their guy at quarterback, you know? So, and you might even be able to sit another year with Teddy Bridgewater here if you're really not sold. I think this team's got a lot of excitement to it. It's just not, they're not going to win it this year. But let's move on to another 3-0 team here who also has had a couple easy opponents. They did beat the Saints though, so they've got some tread to the tires. But the Panthers lost J.C. Horn this weekend, unfortunately. But I will say that he did show enough where I'm very confident that he's going to come back next year and be a stud for them. But they went out and traded for C.J. Henderson, and they got – so it, the trade was Dan Arnold and a third for C.J. Henderson and a fifth. This is the 2020 first-round pick, 9th overall selection, C.J. Henderson. Lorenz, if you feel confident in this kid, and I think that there was enough on tape to feel confident in him, I think this is a steal. What about you?
Yeah, I do think it. I do think it's a risk. I don't see this one as black and white of a trade as a lot of other people see it. Hey, the Dan Arnold and the third round pick sort of evens out with the fifth. Mm-hmm. So you're really paying a third round pick, in my opinion. For C.J. Henderson, who, yeah, was a high pick. I wasn't super high on him. I had a mid-day 2 grade on him coming out. Love the upside. Love the movement skills. I do think his potential is to be a big-time corner in this league. I thought I wasn't sure that he had the demeanor from a physicality standpoint, whether that was in run support or in coverage, because you're going to get beat in the NFL. You can have perfect coverage. But you got to continue having that feisty, punchy demeanor, which I love to see from cornerback prospects. And I think it speaks true for the most of the guys that are successful in the league. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to pick yourself back up. And those were some of the things I was concerned about with C.J. Henderson, with the lack of physicality. So I think it's a bit of a shot in the dark. Apparently, he had some mental issues at Jacksonville. Certainly hoping he clears that up. Certainly mm-hmm. hoping he gets right there. But I think Jacksonville are glad that they were able to get a third round pick. And Dan Arnold, who's an athletic tight end, wide receiver type, fits their scheme. But I think I see this more as a win-win right now, because I do think that the Panthers can afford to gamble on a guy like C.J. Henderson with a culture that they have in place there.
That's the key.
But Dan Arnold leaving, I want to talk about this real quick, also opens the door for Tommy Tremble, mm-hmm. who's the rookie tight end there. Really athletic player. They gave him a jet sweep the other day, and he took it to the house on Thursday Night Football. Really athletic player, tight end with a lot of potential. Just didn't catch a lot of balls at Notre Dame. But he can block. He can run. I think he's a better receiver than a lot of people give him credit for. This opens the door for him to step up and be a big-time playmaker for this team, led by Sam Darnold, that I think have been surprising a lot of people, me included, with how well they've played, especially beating the Saints, looking at this early slate of games that they've played.
Well, that's the key there, is that the culture that they've built in Carolina is phenomenal. I love what Matt Rhule has done there. And bringing in C.J. Henderson, I didn't have a mid-second or a mid-day 2 on him. I did have him as a first-round graded corner. I didn't think he was the 9th best player in that draft, but I still thought he was a end-of-the-first corner. I like what they've been doing there player development-wise. And when you talk about maybe not this year for the Panthers, but you're right. I thought Tommy Tremble was going to take that job anyways. So trading Dan Arnold doesn't really factor in. It's likely for a fifth, right? And that's, like you said, that gives Trevor Lawrence a reliable-ish tight end. But Henderson was in a crowded cornerback room there in Jacksonville. They had signed Shaquille Griffin. They had drafted Tyson Campbell very early. They were just – there was a lot of corners there, a lot of mouths to feed, and getting playing time. It was not the best situation for him. Get him over here. Now you're looking at a cornerback room of J.C. Horn, obviously, when he comes back next year, C.J. Henderson, and Dante Jackson. I do really like that. I think you can match up with anyone there. It kind of gives you a little bit of versatility with the corners. So I think it's a move that makes sense. I'm excited to see Tommy Tremble kind of like take over here. But yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Did you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, and Matt Rhule, just an interesting quote saying about Tommy Tremble that he's been sort of this year's Jeremy Chinn for this team, which if you know, Jeremy Chinn is one of the most important pieces on that team, had a big-time rookie season last year. Hey,
right.
If you're out there playing fantasy football, Tommy Tremble's still out there. You might want to go pick him up and stash him because – hey, it might just be coaches talk, you know, but I do think this shows how much trust they have in Tommy Tremble, getting rid of Dan Arnold, who, you know, is a fringe starting tight end in this league at least now. And now you really, really just got the rookie there.
Yeah, that I agree with you. I think that this move was, I think, made specifically because of Tommy Tremble. I think they felt confident, hey, this kid is better than Dan Arnold right now. If we can trade for CJ Henderson for a third, they'll take that. Let's move on here. We got just a quick shout out here. The NFL record for longest field goal is now broken. 66-yard game-winning field goal for Justin Tucker this weekend. And that thing was good from 65 and a half. But hey, he got a nice bounce on it off the crossbar. So shout out to Justin Tucker. Did you see this field goal?
It was a big one, man. And there's this awesome camera angle. If you haven't seen it, go find it somewhere out there on social media, YouTube, wherever you can get it from, really behind the kick, where you can really see all the emotions with the ball bouncing off the crossbar, this moment of defeat or victory for both teams, and just how happy everyone was. But also talk about Lamar Jackson getting them in position.
Right.
Had a 4th-and-19 conversion there on that drive. Just the things the Ravens have been able to do the last 2 weeks with game-winning drives has been, man, they're must-watch TV. Every time the Ravens play, it's going to get crazy. And just something with those 60-plus yard field goals yesterday for me personally. First, I just talked about I was out there at the European League of Football. There was a 62-yard field goal to win the game. They missed. Then I hop on to Twitter. I see the crazy Jamal Agnew 65-yard field goal return or what that was. Then Justin Tucker casually comes out there and nails one from, what was that, 66. I mean, just a crazy day with those field goals all day. But, hey, kickers matter, right? That's the lesson we learned. If you got Justin Tucker, you can afford to kick it from if you have field position at wherever they were at midfield. I don't even know if you kick it from that far.
Yeah, well, the Jamal Agnew one was actually a 68-yard attempt to end half by Matt Prater. Did not go, was definitely short. Hey, he got leg on it, but 68's a long one. Hey, let's talk next about we recently did talk on the pod about the rookie quarterbacks not really having great weeks, and it was another shaky performance for Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. I think they're both up to 7 interceptions now on the season. It's shaky right now. Are you nervous about these two?
I'll talk about Wilson first because I'm more nervous about him, definitely in part because I wasn't super high on him in the draft process. I thought he had a lot of holes that he would have to clean up and didn't really have that elite playmaking out of structure ability to really get over it consistently early on. And I think that's showing right now on a team where he's getting no help. This is a bad offensive line without Mekhi Becton. They don't have a lot of receivers in place there. Can't really get the run game going. And I think what the Jets are doing right now is killing Zach Wilson's confidence, quite honestly. And I know, you know, their backup quarterback is Mike White or whoever. And but I'm still advocating, hey, you need to sit Zach Wilson for a couple weeks, let him recuperate, let him figure out what's going on. The game is too fast for him right now, especially with him not having any real playmakers to get the ball to. I think a big part of his success at BYU was him being confident, him being able to play fast, letting it rip. Right. And that's not really showing right now. If you take away his confidence, I think he's going to have a tough time. I think you need to sit him where you might ruin a season potentially, even if you just got to sit him for 2 weeks, got to let him calm down a little bit because, man, right now it's rough. For Trevor Lawrence, I'm seeing a bit more. I do think he's got a bit more help with those receivers. There is the occasional highlight, big-time play, some that we're just not seeing with Zach Wilson. It just seems to be all bad. For Trevor Lawrence, there is the occasional big-time highlight play where he's showing the physical traits that made all of us say, hey, this guy's a special prospect. He's got a little bit more help. He's running that more college-leaning offense that is more familiar to him coming in there with Urban Meyer. So I'm not that worried about him, especially if he manages to turn it around, just eliminate some of the mistakes that he is making. But that's normal for a rookie. Still shaky, still not perfect, definitely not. But I think Zach Wilson would do well if he got to sit for a little bit. I think Trevor Lawrence is good being out there right now.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think for me, Lawrence, I'm not super worried about yet. I put asterisks on that because, I obviously had him graded as the highest quarterback I had ever graded at college. Now, disclaimer, I'm 22 years old. I have not been doing this for 22 years. So
just 21.
Just 21. I had to wait till I could say a couple words. But I'm not nervous about Trevor Lawrence yet. I just think that he needs to. He made some of these throws in college. The thing is, in college, there was different levels of play, obviously, especially in the ACC, where he could get away with making these throws. You see some of the throws he's making that are interceptions. They're throws that he was making in college. It's just, the defensive backs are faster, quicker, smarter. And you're going to throw picks on those. And as he gets more acquainted to it, gets a little bit better of an offensive line, gets some more weapons with him, I think those throws are going to start to become easier for him, or at least he'll be smarter about them. I don't think he's checking down as much as he should be as well. You see a lot of incomplete passes as he's kind of just trying to do it all himself. They don't really have a run game there. I think it would have been crucial for him to have Travis Etienne this year. He does not. So I'm not as nervous with Lawrence. Wilson, we both had graded as – I had him as a low first-round player. I think you had him as a second-round player. And I don't think he should have been the second overall pick. Trey Lance and Justin Fields were very much safer picks to me. The things that made you excited about Wilson are the things he's being forced to do with the Jets. They're just not – anyone can throw without shoulder pads. You see guys throw without shoulder pads. It's a different thing. That pro day to me was not as nearly as impressive as some other pro days we had seen. And I think he got drafted because of that. And I am nervous about Wilson. I think he was a low first round player, but I thought I had a higher grade on Jordan Love. I had a higher grade on Justin Herbert. So we'll see. We'll see with Wilson. I am definitely nervous. It has not looked good, but I guess there's time for him to make up for it for sure. Let's get into some college football here. We got two games we really want to discuss here. Arkansas beats Texas A&M 20-10, and they look to be in control of that game the entire time. One kid that we want to shout out here, Treylon Burks, 6 receptions, 167 yards, and a touchdown, and a phenomenal play that deserved to be on SportsCenter Top 10. Lorenz, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm so happy about Arkansas. I believe they went into the season unranked, which was just straight up disrespectful if you look at the amount of talent that they had all across the board. Now, did I expect them to be this good beating Texas A&M and Texas here, really claiming the state of Texas there for the Razorbacks? No, I didn't expect that. But hey, this is a team that is loaded throughout. They've done a great job maximizing that talent, and they're rightfully so, or they should at least be a top 10 team after this win. Obviously, playing the SEC, I don't think they're going to win out there clearly, but they're a really good team this year. They're going to deserve to make a big-time bowl, and they've really turned this program around from being the laughing stock off the SEC for a couple years ago. Treylon Burks is just a special dude if you talk about an athleticism and size combination, the speed, the flexibility, just the ability to high point the football. I know it's not all there yet if it comes to route running, if it comes to refinement, releasing off the line, all those things. But if you have that type of size and speed and that type of physicality, that's special, that's rare, and he's showing it. He's making plays all over the place, and he's in the running firmly in the running for being the top receiver just because of those traits. Some coach is going to say, give me that kid, and I'll make it work. So happy for this Arkansas team. Should easily be a top 10 team after this, especially with how a couple of these other teams look. And Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. I'm happy for Arkansas fans as well, because this team has been rough for the last I don't know how long, and they got a good squad this year.
No, Treylon Burks is a really exciting player to watch, and the talent is so clear with that size and speed as well. I think he's gonna come off the board faster than people are anticipating come April. I'd be shocked, I think it's April this year. Late April, but I think he's going to come off the board real fast. And Arkansas handled this game. They really did. I'm excited about, I don't think that they're going to win the SEC. I think there's too many teams better than them in the SEC, more talented than them, but they are talented to say the least. And they're going to find themselves in a pretty nice bowl game, I think. And they're going to be deserving of it, because this team is real exciting to watch. And it's going to be, we're going to be covering them a lot more on the tailgate show. I'll tell you that, because they are going to be one of the top teams every week. Next game we really want to talk about here, final game we want to talk about here, Clemson lost to NC State 27-24 in OT. And Lorenz, I just got to say, this does not look like the Clemson team that we have seen in the last couple years. This, I'll let you talk on it, but this is not the same Clemson team.
Yeah, I mean, the issues were apparent throughout the last couple of weeks, starting with the Georgia game, really. But you could say, hey, that was week one. That was an outstanding defense. So we're really seeing shout out everyone or shut out. They don't shout anyone out. Maybe Jordan Davis, but but they're doing a great job on defense. So that was sort of the excuse, right? But really, this Clemson offense, they got issues all over the place, and it all starts with DJ Uiagalelei. I don't think it's because of him not being a good player. I think we could see the flashes with that pass that he had to the back of the end zone to Justin Ross, who's hopefully slowly getting on, because he doesn't look like the Justin Ross that we've been accustomed to watching over the last couple of years before he had the neck injury. But this offense, they don't have a great offensive line. So with DJ Uiagalelei, you want to push the ball downfield off of play action. You want to have a bit of a threat of the run game. You want to be able to use that arm talent to get the ball vertically. And now all the receivers they have, and I like Joe Ngata. I don't have a problem with Frank Latsa. I do think if Justin Ross comes back healthy, as that type of big slot guy, can be a good football player. If not comes back healthy, because I'm hoping he is healthy, but gets back to that 100% playing level. But they're all the same type player. They don't have someone who's got 4.3 speed and can burn you over the top, who can make things happen after the catch like an Amari Rodgers was able to do last year. And they're really missing that type of player. And they're really missing that type of threat out of the backfield. I don't think they have that right now. So this offense is just very limited. It's still a good defense. They got pieces all over the place. Might have 3 first-round picks in the next draft coming out of that defense, in the 23 draft, that is. You talk about the defensive lineman, they look at Trenton Simpson, who's a freak at linebacker. But this offense is flawed. They got issues. I don't think they could – I mean, man, they're not making the college football playoff this year, no matter what happens. You lost 2 games. I mean, it's going to be real tough unless these other teams continue doing what they do. But, it's a rough year, and this – I mean, look, DJ Uiagalelei was 10 for 26. It's just not enough, just not good enough. This offense, this personnel doesn't fit what they should do, and it's showing. It's going to be a rough year for Clemson fans. I don't think it's going to get much better.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because DJ is he's a good player, but it's not showing right now. I thought he was going to be one of the top players in the 2023 draft. I don't know if that's the case. He will have a whole nother season next year to really prove that. But of course, as a scout, this is small sample sizes, and I'm not going to knock the kid entirely off because of it. But it just hasn't looked all that impressive. Not super excited about this Clemson team going forward. It's interesting to say the least, and that I think that they're even a team that might have to or might not win the ACC. You know, that's at least up in the air at this point. And they're ranked number 25 now. That is the lowest in the last couple of years that I've seen. So That being said, hey, Clemson's gotten enough success. Maybe we'll see another team get into that college playoff. We won't see the same four teams like we always do. But we'll see. Another team that looked exciting again was Oregon, and they really have cemented themselves, looks to be in that college football playoff. So maybe we see them instead of Clemson, although saying that is like Oregon hasn't been there before. But, you know, hey, it's cool to see some other teams involved. But that being said, that's it. Lorenz, anything final before we get out of here?
No, just thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's a lot of fun to do this podcast, you know, recap a couple of these games every week. And keep listening, keep tuning in, hit that subscribe, give a 5-star review. And that's really all.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back with more Prospect Profits later this week and next week. But be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Dynasty Draft Room.